You're listening to Amud V'Chazar with Daniel Eisberg, Maseches Shabbos, Daf Pei Zayin Amud Aleph. The siman, I think I have to post for Pei Vav, maybe even Pei Hei. The siman for Pei Zayin is going to be, it's pretty great, a Pez dispenser. Pez Aleph Hashalom. I haven't seen them around, but they're great. So that's going to be, it's going to be a Pez dispenser. I think it's going to be a Rebbe giving a student a Pez dispenser special prize. One of the three zichru points are going to be on this Amud. We are in the sugya of the timeline of Matan Torah. It's amazing Ashkacha Pratis, as we're going to see in a couple of days, the discussion about Matan Torah and its connection to Purim. And the Gemara is going to be explicit. I think it's Tuesday night's Amud is going to be very explicit about the role of Purim in Matan Torah and Kimu V'Kiblu. So it's incredible timing, a beautiful Ashkacha Pratis. You know, we'll get some nice Purim prep through this shiur. So let's now go. We're discussing the opinions. We're on Pei Zayin Amud Aleph, about 5-6 lines down, but Meisve, and we were discussing the different versions of the timeline. We have Rabbi Yossi and the Rabbanan, and they disagree. The main point they disagree with is what day of the week was Rosh Chodesh and how many days of prep there were. Everybody agrees, however, that the Torah was given on Shabbos. So now we're going to challenge the Shita of Rav Yossi. And Rav Yossi is ultimately going to say that there were 3 days of preparation and of precious, of abstinence. That's going to be, that's the Shita. And again, that was the basis back on Pei Vav for how long Zera will be Metame when emitted from a woman. Okay. So, Meisve, so let's challenge that. V'kidashtem ayom u'machar. So, Hashem says, and you will sanctify yourselves today and tomorrow. Kach l'Rabbi Yossi. Today and tomorrow sounds a lot like 2 days. Today, tomorrow. So, what's... So according to Rabbi Yossi, that said there were 3 days that they had to abstain. That's very troubling. Rabbi Yossi would say to you, Yom Echad Hosif Moshe Midato. Moshe actually added 1 day on his own. Hashem told him 2, Yahayom Mechar, and then he said there's a third day that Moshe added and said, we're going to do 3 days. D'tanya, as we learned in Brisa, Gimel Dvarim Asa Moshe Midato V'Hiskim HaKadosh Baruch Hu Imo. There are 3 things that Moshe Rabbeinu decided on his own. He, you know, came to it on his own. He wasn't explicitly commanded, and Hashem was maskim with him. And this point is actually going to be one of the 3 zikru points. So again, for Daf Pei Zayin, which is going to be a Pez dispenser, one of the 3 points is that Moshe Rabbeinu had, one of the 3 points is that Moshe Rabbeinu came to 3 conclusions on his own that Hashem was later maskim to. And so that's going to be part of the siman. It's going to be a Rebbe gave a Pez dispenser to a Talmud who decided something 3 times, and he was maskim to his Talmud 3 times, so he awarded him a Pez dispenser, and the other 2 zikr points are going to be from the next Talmud. So what are these 3 things? So one of them we just mentioned. So the Gimel Dvarim Asa Moshe Midato V'Hiskim HaKadosh Baruch Hu Hosif Yom Echad Midato. And the Gemara is also going to explain why he came to these conclusions, why he decided these 3 things, and what's going to change, how he came to them, and how we see Hashem was maskim. So first of all, he decided that there's a third day of preparation, even though Hashem only asked for Hayom Machar, today and tomorrow you should abstain, and Moshe added a third day. Upirish min ha'isha, and he separated from his wife. Right, so Rashi says legamri lachar matan Torah miyad shapirish im chaverav shum lo chazar l'tashmish. Right, after matan Torah, he did not return to his wife at all. V'shibares haluchos, and he broke the luchos. Hosif yom echad. So let's analyze each one. Hosif yom echad midato. He added 1 day from his own das. My darish hayom umachar. So my darish. What did he darshan? How did he get there? Hayom umachar. That phrase that seemed to imply too, right? We said this is the question to Rabbi Yossi. Hayom umachar, today and tomorrow, meaning only 2 days. So why does Rabbi Yossi say 3? So hayom kimachar. The drasha is there's a like we're, it's like a hekesh of yom to machar. Hayom to machar. The today should be like tomorrow. Ma la machar, just like when, if we're talking about tomorrow, lelo imo, we're presumably talking about the day, meaning a 24-hour period, the night with the day. Af hayom, lelo imo. So too, if we're talking about today, it should be a night, it should be today with the night. V'layla de'ha'id, right? So basically, Jahayom Machar, both of them would presumably be the 24-hour periods. But V'layla de'ha'idna, but right now, the night of today, which was last night, Nafkale, it's already gone. Therefore, today must not be included in the two-day, required abstinence of Hayom Machar. Shema mina tshrei yomi levar mea idna. We can get from here that Moshe learned from here that it was 2 days. It was 2 days, not including that day. So, which is definitely not what Hashem, you know, it's not the Parshat Shem, what Hashem was telling him of Yom Machar today and tomorrow, but Moshe understood that it was supposed to be a 2 day period. And he therefore extended it. What his reasoning might have been, perhaps he was concerned about other things. He was concerned that wouldn't be enough. Perhaps Hashem was Roas and Nolad, is able to see what would be, and that 2 days would be enough. Moshe wasn't sure. Whatever it is. And we know in Dehiskim HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how do we know Hashem agreed with him? Delo Shari Yashchina Ad Safer Deshabsa. Because the Shechina didn't come after 2 days, it came after 3 days. So clearly Hashem agreed. Okay. Uperish min Isha, he separated from his wife. My Darish, how did he come to that conclusion? Nosa Kavachomer he batsmo, he made a Kavachomer regarding himself. Omar, he said, Ma Yisrael shlo dibra Shechina imahen el sha'achas. So let's take a look at Klal Yisrael. The Shechina only spoke with them one time. Matan Torah. V'kavalahen zman. Right, when there's a set time to speak to him, Amra Torah v'yunacholim v'gomer, right? They're supposed to prepare themselves and not be with the al tikshu. Do not approach your wives. Ani shekol shav v'shav shchina medaberesi mi ve'ino kavei liizman. But I speak to Hashem all the time, and there's no set time for me. Alach es kama v'kama. All the more so, I have to abstain from being with my wife. How do we know Hashem agreed to this? Dichsiv, because it says the pasuk Lech Emor Lahem Shuvu Lechem Lahalechem. After Matan Torah, it says go tell them to return to their tents. Their tents is an allusion to their wives. Viksiv Basrein, it says after that Vata Po Amodi Madi, and you here will stay with me, right? Meaning that you are excluded from the chevra who was told to go back to the wife. So Moshe on his own was already not going to be with his wife anymore, and Hashem said, okay, yeah, that's appropriate, and therefore you have the right to stay with me here. The Ista Amri, there are those who say the following is the indication. Pe el pe adaber bo. Right? Mouth to mouth, I speak to him. Which is, let's see if Rashi, I don't know if Rashi elaborates over here, but yeah, so Rashi doesn't elaborate, but the context over here is that Miriam and Aaron, in Parshas Baaloscha, at the end of Parshas Baaloscha, are speaking about Moshe and his and as Chazal understand it, not him not being with his wife, and they say, don't we all, we're also Nevi'im, we also speak to Hashem, and Hashem responds, Moshe's different, no one's like Moshe Rabbeinu, and I speak to him pe'al pe, meaning that Hashem, you know, if Moshe was doing something inappropriate, then Miriam and Aaron would have been fully justified in what they were speaking about. But Hashem says, no, actually Moshe is doing the right thing. So that's clearly a haskama. Okay. And Shibres Aluchos, he broke the Luchos, my Darish. So how did he get to that? Amar, he said, Uma Pesach Shu Echad Mitaryag Mitzvos Amra Torah V'chol Ben Nechar Lo Yalchabo. So just like, well, learn it from a Korban Pesach. Pesach is one of the Taryag Mitzvos. And the Torah says regarding it, "Kol ben nechar lo yochal bo." any ben nechar, any stranger, any foreigner can't eat from it. So Rashi says ben nechar could be a guy, but not just a guy, says Rashi, but even mumar shenisnach rumasav laviv shabashamayim. A mumar, somebody who, like, an apostate is usually translated, someone who rejects God, who like violates Shabbos before Hesia or Avodah Zarah, or just denies God. So he's considered a ben nechar. He's not allowed to eat from the Karban Pesach. So one mitzvah, Karban Pesach, you can't be a ben nechar. So HaTorah Kula Kan V'Yisrael Mumarim Alachas Kama V'Kama. The entire Klal Yisrael was just the worshiping of Avodah Zarah. So if we can't even let a ben nechar eat from a Karban Pesach, then all of Klal Yisrael becoming Mumarim, ben nechar, Alachas Kama V'Kama, we shouldn't allow them to have the Torah. So he smashed the Luchos. Or at one point, I'll mention, it's interesting. I believe I saw it's the Rokeach, that the word Pesach itself, right? Pesach is being used as the example here of the Taryag Mitzos, and he points out that it happens to be that Pesach is a very fundamental mitzvah. It's like it's basically our first mitzvah. It's a very, very foundational mitzvah. He points out that there's a type of gematria known as Miloi gematria. That's where you spell out the letters. So if you take the word Pesach, so Pei is Pei Hey, Samach is Samach Mem Chaf, and Ches is Ches Tav, or Ches Saf, and so you add those together, the gematria is 613, Taryag. So it's a very cool Rokeach. It's a nice one to share at the Pesach Seder. And so over here we say this is one mitzvah. Yeah, so it's true. Pesach is one mitzvah. But it can actually serve as an example for the entire Torah, the Targum mitzvah says here. So I think that Rokeach, this Gemara works nicely with that Rokeach. Okay. So how do we know Hashem was masking to this? Asher shibarta, that which you broke, right? That's what the pasuk says at the end of the Torah, the very end of the parsha Zos Bracha. Asher shibarta, that you broke, the luchos that you broke. Vamar Reish Lakish darshins asher shibarta as yiyasher kochacha, which I believe is the earliest source of that phrase of shkoyach, is yasher kochacha sheshibarta, yasher koach, that you broke it, right? Yasher is like a bracha that you should be straightened. Yasher kochacha, your strength should be straightened, and it's like a confirmation, an affirmation for what was done. It's darshan in yasher kochacha. So the way Reish Lakish interprets this, it's definitely a haskama to this action, and now we have three things that Moshe did on his own, and Hashem was maskim to, and this is the first zikr point for the Pez dispenser. Okay, Tashma. So now we're going to try to see if we can. We're going to have some more challenges, I think, mostly for Rabbi Yossi. We'll see how Rabbi Yossi fares. Tashma, here coming here proof of this brisa. V'hayu nechonim liyom ha'shlishi. It says, be prepared for the third day. So Kashla Rabbi Yossi. So that sounds like a question to Rabbi Yossi. It says, be prepared for the third day. This is a question to Rabbi Yossi because he says that it's only 2 days. Because he would say that it would be like the fourth day. So Ha Amrinan Yom Echad Hosiv Moshe Midato. No, but we already answered this. It's the same. It's a different pasuk, but it's the same idea. The same answer we said before. He added a day, so there's the Yom Shlishi. And that's where it came from. Another challenge. Tashma Shlishi. So the pasuk says Shlishi. Shlishi b'chodesh v'shlishi b'shabbos. The Brisa says about Shlishi, the third day of the month, the third day of the week. So kasha l'rabbanan. This is a question to the Rabbanan. Because if you remember, the Rabbanan said that Rosh Chodesh was Sunday, right? And then, so no, that would make sense. So it's a question to the Rabbanan. Did the Rabbanan say it was Sunday, or they said the first day maybe it was Monday? Maybe they said Monday, and Rabbi Yossi said Sunday, and so that's why it's a question, right? Because Rabbi Yossi, they say it was Monday, Rabbi Yossi said it was Sunday, that's why you have the extra day of the 3 days, while they said there's only 2 days of preparation. So this is a question to the Rabbanan. Amri lach Rabbanan, the Rabbanan would respond to you, Hamani, who is the author of this brisa? Rabbi Yossi, it's Rabbi Yossi, right? You can't refute The Rabbanan that we're talking about now are a Tanayic Rabbanan that are against Rabbi Yossi, who's another Tana. So if you have a Brisa that goes against Rabbi Yossi, that's like explicitly against the Rabbanan, you say, okay, Shkoyach, this is Rabbi Yossi's Brisa. This is whether Rabbi Yossi himself is the author or Rabbi Yossi is following that approach, but you know, it's not a proper refutation. Okay, Shlishi. Shlishi the Mai. So what is, we said it's the third day, so is the third day to what? The Chedetanya, like we learned in the Brisa, Vayashav Moshe es divrei ha'am el Hashem, that Moshe returned the words of the people to Hashem, meaning this Klal Yisrael said something, and Hashem and Moshe delivered the message to Hashem. Viksiv, and then it says right after that, Vayaged Moshe es divrei ha'am el Hashem, and Moshe told over the words of the nation to Hashem. So it's strange to have this back-to-back, right? Because Ma Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe, what did Hashem say to Moshe? Uma amar lahem Moshe li Yisrael. And what did Moshe say to Yisrael? Uma amar Yisrael le Moshe, uma heishiv Moshe lifnei ha-gvura. Right? And what did Klal Yisrael say to Moshe, and what did Moshe then say back to Hashem? Right? It says twice in a row, it says, Moshe delivered the message to Hashem, and then again, essentially, Moshe delivered the message to Hashem. So presumably, in between that, there was a response from Hashem. Moshe passed on the message back to Klal Yisrael, and then they said something else, and then he delivered the message back to Hashem. But there are some missing steps that are not recorded, because it says back to back, Moshe delivered the message to Hashem, and then Moshe delivered the message to Hashem. So the Gemara is going to darshan in these phrases. So Zu mitzvah hagbala. This is the divrei Rabbi Yossi bar Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi bar Rabbi Yehuda says this is the mitzvah of hagbala. That what happened in the interim, there was the mitzvah of hagbala of making boundaries. Rashi says sha'afal pishik suva achar mitzvah prisha. Even though in the Torah it's written after the commandment for abstinence, it says right separate from your wives, and then after that it says mitzvah of hagbala. B'shlishi namrolo v'tzach lehashiv shekibla alehen. So Moshe wanted to go back and tell Hashem that they accepted the Hagbalah. So that's what's going on here. But Rebbe Omer, Rebbe has a different pshat of what's going on here. Rebbe Omer, betchila perish onsha, first he explained the punishments of the Torah. Dichsiv, vayoshev Moshe dvarim, vayoshev Moshe, says Moshe, vayoshev Moshe, that Moshe, we thought meant returned, but dvarim she mishabavin, Dato Shaladam, that like turns the das of a person astray, like Shovav or Mershavavin, come of Vayelech Shovev, says Rashi, quoting a pasuk in Yeshayahu. Shimon and Milakabel, right? Basically, he like kind of like turned them away from Hashem. He used the lashon of Vayoshev, it's saying that he turned them away from Hashem. Vayoshev, he turned them away from Hashem in what he said. He said things that turn people away. What kind of things turn people away? So if you go to it, if you have a Kiruv seminar, so in general, in NCSY or Aish or something like that, they're not going to tell you to start off telling people that if they don't keep Torah mitzvos, they're going to go to Gehenna. Right? That's not the kind of thing that you will start with. And if you do, you might be turning them away, right? It's some dvarim shem shavavin da toshel adam. So that's what Moshe did over here. It says Moshe did a vayashev. He did it. Ulabasof, and then afterwards, perish matan schara. Then he explained the schar for the Torah. Dechsev vayageid Moshe dvarim. That Moshe, vayageid Moshe, Moshe told them, dvarim she moshchin libo shel adam ke agada. It's that he told them things that draw their hearts like agada. Right, so like agadata, which, yeah, I think it's something about agadata. That agadata is something that draws people's hearts. People, you know, if you're offering like a, you hear there's a halacha shir or agadata shir, a lot of people are going to be much more drawn to the agadata. There are other like comments in Chazal that say this kind of thing. So what does it mean? Vayag. So first it says vayoshev and then vayaged. The first vayoshev, he told them things that were like mishavavim, that kind of like pushed them off. And then he told them the matashar, like it's like agadata. He things that like, you know, appeal to their emotions and were able to make them, you know, interested. V'ikadamri, there are those that say, B'tchila pirish matan schara, dichsiv vayashav Moshe, vayashav Moshe. So first he told him the matan schar. We're going to interpret these phrases, these words differently. Vayashav Moshe, dvarim she meshivin da'ato shel adam. things that return the das of somebody to something, right? Or return them to this. Ula basof perish onsha, but then afterwards he explained the punishments. Dichsiv vayaged Moshe dvarim shekoshen ladam kigidin, something that's koshe, hard, like gidin, like sinews, which are very tough and very strong. So vayaged is lashon of sinews, meaning that he told them harsher things, meaning the punishments. So anyway, what is this? So there are two basic approaches of what this conversation was. It says Vayashev, and then it says Vayaged right after. And according to Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda, there is a discussion in between, and this is talking about the mitzvah Hagbalah. According to Rebbe, it's unclear. I think it's that there. It looks like that there's two pshat. There's like two versions of Rebbe's opinion. That's what it seems to be. But basically, both of them are drashos on vayasha vayaged. Don't interpret it as like a bunch of conversations that happened in the interim. But rather, it should be darshaned as vayasha vayaged. And either it means that he first said things that kind of turned them off, and then said things that draw their hearts, or he first said things that brought them in, made them turn to him, and then said things that are very harsh. And these, you know, could be two approaches in general, I guess, in Kiruv or anything. It could be, you know, when you're dealing with Geirim, right, or prospective Geirim. So, you know, generally you'll tell them about the challenges first before the beauty of it, you know, and it could be. In general, in Kiruv, it's wiser to do this way. I mean, there are people in Kiruv out there who do come with the, you know, the fire and brimstone approach, and works and it does work in some communities. So both of them seem to be options, and there are two pshatim in the Gemara that this is what took place according to Rebbe at Har Sinai. I think we'll hold it there, because the next line is we're going to go into a little bit longer than the next one. Okay.